Blog Talk Radio.
You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Say it again, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Now come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody!
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship.
You're listening to the Bay Area's hottest prayer line. That's Guilty of Loving and Serving God with Sister Alexandra.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Salt of the Earth. I am your girl, Sister Alexandra. Thank you for joining us today. Amen. Today is Good Friday. Good Friday, everyone. Are you ready for the resurrection day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Amen. So we have a good one for you today, a good topic for you guys today. Amen. And today's topic is called, What's So Good About Good Friday? And I'm going to break it down to you. Amen. Why we call it Good Friday and what's so good about it. Amen. But before we get started, we are going to welcome back Sister Kendra. She's feeling good and she's up and about. So today she felt like doing a little prayer for us. Amen. So let's go ahead and welcome Sister Kendra back. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen, Sister Kendra.
Thank you, Sister Alexandra. First, I'd like to give thanks and glory to my Father God and Yeshua. Amen. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all, such as are appointed to destruction. Proverbs 31:8. We should strive to be voices for those who are unable to speak for themselves. The world is filled with people who are oppressed on a daily basis. As Christians, the love in our hearts should compel us to be there for those who are in need of help. Use your voice for good always. Prayer. Dear God, I pray that I use my voice to speak for those who face oppression in this world. There are so many people suffering in this world, and I ask that I use all that I can to help as many people as possible. The love you have placed in my heart compels me to do so. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Now turning over to Sister Alexandra.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Kendra, for that. Amen. So we want to thank you all for tuning in today at the Salt of the Earth, the gospel of the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, written scripture. Our prayers and praying can go deep, and our prayer bullets, when aimed, will hit their target. Amen. Here at the Salt of the Earth, we are the church with no walls but the kingdom within. Amen. So we were asking, before we get started, we take nothing for granted, so we are going to pray over the prayer line. Lord, we repent and ask for forgiveness this day for any unholy word, deed, or act in Jesus' name. In the mighty earthquake name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the wonder-working name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Heavenly Father, I invite your presence into this place. I invite the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to join me in this battle against the enemies as we welcome your presence. I receive the spirit of power, love, and sound mind in Jesus' name. Amen. No demon has the right and power to attack my mind or anyone on this prayer line mind, because it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Jesus' name. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release the angels of war from the kingdom of God. Angels, take your positions against Satan and his demons now. Cover the prayer line, the whole air, land, and sea with the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the bread of life. Let us feast on you and find nourishment for our souls. You are the light of the world. Let us follow you out of the darkness. You are the door. Let us enter the Father's presence in your name. You are the good shepherd. Let us rest in your provision. You are the resurrection and the life. Let us find life and victory in you. You are the way, the truth, and life. Let us love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in your name. Amen. And just remember, God has a place for you, a space for you, a race for you, and a pace for you. And God will see you through. Amen, amen, amen. So we are talking about Good Friday today. I'm going to tell you my idea of growing up about Easter, okay? Everyone has their version of Easter when they grew up. Okay, so my version of Easter when I grew up was we would get a nice outfit and we would get the Easter egg basket and we had candy in it. This is what was in our household, okay? So we got a new outfit to go to church, and we had all that Easter basket, and you can tell us nothing. We was ready for church that day because we was going to have fun, and we was going to go to church, and then the church was going to have fun at the church for us, and we was going to be waiting to do the Easter egg hunt. So I think all kids may have grown up with that. I'm not sure. But that's what I grew up in my household. So I look forward to Easter. Easter was one of my favorite days because I got candy and I got to dress up. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open up. And I just want you guys, anyone that would like to tell us a little bit about your Easter growing up too. What was the story of Easter in your household? And how did you guys come up celebrating when you were kids? Everybody don't have to bum rush at one time, but I would just like to hear a couple of us just tell a little bit about in their household when they grew up with Easter. Was it similar to mine or was it different? Because every household was different. So in mine, that's how mine was. Amen. So is there anyone on the line that just would like to open up a little bit about how they celebrated Easter in their house when they were growing up?
Okay.
Amen.
I'll tell mine. Amen.
Okay.
It's basically like yours, you know, and then that day we get a new outfit, you know, because we know we really had that much money. But on that Sunday, we grew up in the country, we had that much money. But my mom, she made sure that we had a little Easter outfit, a little hat, you know,
yeah.
And yeah, and then I had this brand new shoes. And
there you
said,
go.
Easter basket, you know, and then we had them Easter speeches though at church, you know, on Easter Sunday.
We had them little patent leather shoes on, them little petticoats under our dress that made our dress stick out like we was little queens.
Yeah, and then I'm saying, like, about it, no, get to that. No, Easter speeches. But then after that, you know, we had the Easter egg hunt, you know, and stuff,
yeah.
You know, and so, you cover the eggs, and the night before, you cover the eggs, and we had the Easter egg hunt, and then mama, you know, she go home, and she make this good, you know, good dinner. And my mom always made good dinner, though. She always cooked. My mom cooked every day of the week. But, you know, on Easter Sunday, though, we had, you know, probably some special, you know, we had to eat that, I don't know where the ham come in from. But anyway, I want these things coming from, like, you know, eggs and ham. Yeah, Easter. But no, but like you said, there was one of the, Sunday we for Christmas and Easter, you know, we got a little toy where the Easter got a new outfit. So that was my Easter.
Amen. Amen, Sister Pay. Anyone else just want to touch on and tell us how you grew up in your house with Easter? Sister Prevost? First Lady?
Yeah. I guess somebody has
to. Would you like to share with us?
Amen. This is Elder Prevost. Praise God. Mine was pretty much kind of the same, like y'all say, except we got the new. Hold on, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, we got the new outfit on Christmas. I mean, on Easter and everything. I never understood that either. We was broke all year, but on Easter we had money to get new clothes. I understand it. But Yeah, and growing up until I got into my teenage years, my grandmother dyed eggs, and we had Easter baskets and all that at home. When we went to church, it was just like when you go to church now. That's why I know it's a lot of hypocrites in church, because we would all be outside of church at home, dying eggs, talking to each other on the phone, getting Easter baskets and candy. And then we go to church and listen to the pastor say, not to do all that, not to have no eggs, bunnies don't lay eggs and all this other stuff. And they be saying amen. But then we go right home and crack open them eggs like we ain't just went to church. But yeah, I'd have to get that new suit. I was raised by my great grandmother, so I had to get new church clothes, a brand new suit, brand new shoes, a hat. I had to go to church like I was gonna get a sermon that Sunday. So yeah, mine was pretty much the same way. But it wasn't until I was older that my grandmother explained, about the Easter Bunny and all that other stuff, that it was all fake and all that other stuff. But as a little kid, yeah, we did the eggs and the candy and the basket. But when I got older, we kind of cut that out as I got older. Yeah. We still won't. Okay. And they told us we wore new clothes on Easter. We got dressed up on Easter because that's the day Jesus rose. So we going to meet him when he rose, so we want to be looking our best. So that's what they told us. That's what they told us.
Yeah, amen, amen, yeah. Amen, pretty much the same a lot, yeah. I think a lot of people kind of grew up with that. I think back then a lot of the families were kind of the same. I'm not sure, but I do believe in the black culture. I used to, when I went to church, had on my new outfits. All the other kids had on their new outfits. They had on suits. The little boys had on suits and hats. The little girls had on their little Easter bonnets with their little purse, and some of them had little gloves, like little ladies. I mean, we were dressed up like adults. You know what I'm saying? We was looking good. And had our little Easter, some of them took their Easter basket to church with them. And then the church also had an Easter egg hunt. So I think a lot of black families had the similar, Easter thing growing up in the house. So, because everybody was looking good on Easter, when you went to church on Easter, everybody was laid to the night. Everybody looked good. The outfit was new. New clothes when you see it. So everybody was looking good. So that was just like the norm. That was like the norm every Easter. You looking sharp, your hair cut, the boy's hair cut, the girl's hair done. You was looking good. So that was the norm back then. And I guess, we didn't know any better. Like you said, we went to church and, the pastor gave the sermon and he knew we was all coming in there looking dressed to the nines too. But he allowed us to come like that and we just continued in that and nothing ever changed until I got older. And as like you said, your grandmother told you, but I think I had to grow out I think my mother did start telling me when I got a little bit older, but I mean, by the time she started telling me, I had kind of figured it out already. But
yeah.
I knew that it wasn't an Easter bunny. As I got older, I started finding things out about Easter, And I was like, well, why is this? Why is that? That don't make sense. And eggs and bunnies don't lay eggs. So, we was talking about that. Bunny don't lay no eggs and stuff like that. So as I got older, I got away from it. But people still continue to come to the church, and they were still dressed to the nines. They were still dressed to the nines. And so I don't think that ever changed. I don't think that's even changed today. I think people still come dressed like that. I think they still give their kids Easter baskets. Am I right? Do they still give the kids Easter baskets? Okay. So they continuing that old tradition that was way back when, and they not, I don't know if they want to tell their kids or grandkids the truth. I don't know, or how they doing it, but I think we're at the point now that we need to kind of tell our children the truth about that and what that day is recognized for. but that's what we grew up with. I thought over a period of time, through, you know, time, that things would change and we would find out the truth about things that were put in our path. I call them children holiday. Well, I ain't going to call this a children's holiday, but it's a day where they kind of put the children in there too, when this should not even be included in Resurrection Day. But yeah, it's a day where I think companies make money off of people and their children at this time, so they kind of take the focus off what the real holiday is about, and they then turned it into something else where they can make money. And so they continue on with that tradition, and a lot of people still kind of fall into place with that tradition with getting new clothes and everything. Amen. So that's how I believe a lot of households did. And so a lot of households are still doing that, dyeing eggs and everything. So, okay, but today we're talking about Good Friday and why. And why we're doing this. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So what's so good about Good Friday? What is Good Friday? And why do we call it Good Friday? Good. When it is such a dark and bleak event commemorating a day of suffering and death for Jesus. Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, is the Christian holiday to commemorate the crucifixion of Jesus and his death at Calvary. It is also known as Holy Friday, Great Friday, Great and Holy Friday, and believe it or not, Black Friday. For Christians, Good Friday is a crucial day of the year because it celebrates what we believe to be the most momentous weekend in the history of the world. Ever since Jesus died and was raised, Christians have proclaimed the cross and resurrection of Jesus to be the decisive turning point for all creation. Paul considered it to be of first importance that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and raised to life on the third day, all in accordance with what God had promised all along in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3.
For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
On Good Friday, we remember the day Jesus willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 1:10.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
It is followed by Easter, or Resurrection Day, the glorious celebration of the day Jesus was raised from the dead, hurling his victory over sin and death, and pointing ahead to a future resurrection for all who are united to him by faith. Romans 6:5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Still, why call the day of Jesus' death Good Friday or something similar? Some Christians' traditions do take this approach. In German, for example, the day is called Sorrowful Friday. In English, origin of the term good is debated. Some believe it developed from an older name, God's Friday. Regardless of the origin, the name Good Friday is entirely appropriate because the suffering and death of Jesus, as terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins. In order for the good news of the gospel to have meaning for us, we first have to understand the bad news of our condition as sinful people under condemnation. The good news of deliverance only makes sense once we see how we are enslaved. Another way of saying this is that it is important to understand and distinguish between law and gospel in Scripture. The law first, to show us how hopeless our condition is. Then the gospel of Jesus. Grace comes and brings us relief and salvation. In the same way, Good Friday is good, because as terrible as that day was, it had to happen for us to receive the joy of Resurrection Day. The wrath of God against sin had to be poured out on Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute, in order for forgiveness and salvation to be poured out on Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute, in order for forgiveness and salvation to be poured out to the nations. And that's what we need. You know, look what Jesus did for us. He went to the cross. That's why they call it Good Friday. This is the day that they mark as the day that he died. And then he rose on the third day. Amen. And look what he went and did for us. When he died, we died. And when he rose, we rose. And what we need to do as children of God is to remember that love supersedes everything. I mean, everything. That's what the Bible says. It supersedes everything, everything. So we need to show as God's children, remember we have that light that he gave us. We need to show more love. We need to show more love to each other, our brothers and sisters, our family members. And yes, it's not going to always be easy, but we need to show more love, because that's what the world is lacking. That's why the world is out of control. We don't show love like we should for one another. Amen. Everybody is on a mission and they forget. In order for this to work, we have to be balanced out. We can't just take that dollar 24/7, okay? We can't just have one thing dominating our lives. We have to balance it out. And one thing we can't leave out love. We can't leave out forgiveness. We can't leave out repentance. And we need to remember to keep these things in order so our life can balance out. And the world, we just need to show the world more love. Children of God, we need to show the world more love. We need to be more loving. We need to ask the Lord to come into our lives and let us show people that we are love. Because I know for a fact, like he said, love supersedes everything. And you know what? All I can think of when I think of love for us, for his children that he set aside, it's something that the world could take a look at and they can learn from us, because they don't have the type of love that we're supposed to be showing and that we have. But they can learn from us. They can learn from us, because what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. The only thing that there's just too little of. Let's pray.
So without that awful day of suffering, sorrow, and shed blood at the cross, God could not be both just and justifier of those who trust in Jesus. Romans 3:26.
To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believed in Jesus.
Paradoxically, the day that seemed to be the greatest triumph of evil was actually the death blow in God's glorious good plan to redeem the world from bondage. The cross is where we see the convergence of great suffering and God's forgiveness. Psalms 85:10.
Mercy and truth are met together. I'm sorry, mercy and truth are meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Psalms 85:10 sings of a day when righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The cross of Jesus is where that occurred, where God demands his righteousness, coincided with his mercy. We receive divine forgiveness, mercy, and peace because Jesus willingly took our divine punishment, the result of God's righteousness against sin. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross on Good Friday, knowing it led to his resurrection, our salvation, and the beginning of God's reign of righteousness and peace. Good Friday marks the day when wrath and mercy meet at the cross. That's why Good Friday is so dark and so good. Amen. Amen. So that is our topic for today. What's so good about Good Friday? Amen. So Good Friday prepares us for the resurrection day of Sunday. Of Sunday when he rose. Amen. Hebrews 12:2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Amen. So Good Friday is exactly, it's a stigma, and it's also a blessing. So Good Friday is what they call it, Good Friday, a good reason. He went on the cross for us. That is a very good reason. Amen. And then now on Sunday, it will be Resurrection Day. Everyone call it Easter, but I call it Resurrection Day because that's the day he resurrected. That's when he came back from off the cross. Death could not hold him. Amen. And if death cannot hold our Lord and Savior, death cannot hold you. Children of God, death cannot hold you either. Because remember, when he died, we died. And when he rose, we rose. So death will not hold us neither. When we do depart from this world and take our sleep until he comes back, death will not hold us. Death will not hold us. Amen. And we know this for a fact because we are doing exactly as he did because he lives in us, within us, and we serve him. Amen. So I want to see if anyone on the line, I'm going to open up the line now for any prayer requests or prayer reports at this time. Amen. Any prayer requests or prayer reports at this time? Amen.
Amen. Well, just continue to pray for Jerry and Connie, and continue to pray for my family, you know, and continue to pray for my healing. And
Amen.
Yes, and just continue, you know, just keep us Page household in your prayers. That.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Sister Page. I will do just that. Amen. Anyone Amen. Else has a praise report or prayer request?
Yes. Hi, this is Sister Kendra. So just keep praying for my healing, my finances, and my praise report is that I got through my surgery with good, clean bill of health. Everything went smoothly. And I was last month on the 23rd. So I had to stay in hospital for 3 days, which was okay. But the Lord is, you know, still healing me. And I'm doing way much better. But just continue Amen. To pray for me for my healing. So, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else that need prayer or prayer request or praise report? Because God is so good and he's moving. He's moving. When we look at the world, we see a lot of stuff going on, and we think God is not in the midst. God is in the midst, and God is there, and God is working. But it doesn't seem like it. A lot of people think God is not moving, but he is still on the throne, and he's still moving. But he just wants you guys, for those that don't want to be obedient to the word, for those that think he's not there, he wants you to think that he's not there, but he's always there. He has never left you. He told you that in his word. He has never left you. You left him. So he's still there. He is still there. So those of you who are on the fence about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you need to make a decision. You don't need to be on the fence about him. Amen. Because our Lord and Savior is the same then as he is now. He has not changed. So he is still here for his people. He is still here for those who want to be blessed and come into the fold. He is still here. So you don't have to be on the fence. Amen. If you're living in the world and you haven't been satisfied and you chase dream after dream, whatever you're chasing out there, you're not accomplishing, you're not getting, and you know there's a void in your life, you don't know what to do. When friends turn on you, you don't know what to do. When you lose a job, you don't know who to talk to when you're going through things. Amen. You just need to think about the one who brought you here, the one who made it happen for you, who made it possible for you to be here. He's still here. He's just waiting on you. He's a gentleman. So you would have to invite him in. He's waiting patiently for you to invite him in. He's not going to push himself on you. He's not going to demand anything on you, because he has the power to do that, but he gave you free will. He wants you to come willingly, not because he's your God and he made you come. He wants you to come on your own, under your own strength and power. Come to him, because he is all power, but he's still here waiting for you. He never left. So you can make your mind up to just do pros and cons of what's happening with you out of here in the world, unprotected, and what protection you will have under his covenant and his laws and his kingdom. And if you don't know what his laws and covenant and kingdom is, you can contact me, Alexandra Cole, at 510-564-5570. You can contact me, and I can send you this little Bible that I have. And you can go, or we can go over together, and I can tell you God's will, what he expects of his people that come into the fold, that want to come into the covenant and be blessed. It's time to come out of the world. It's time to come out of that sickness, disease-ridden, troublemaking, failure. It looks like they're flourishing, but they're not flourishing. They're chasing that money. It looks like they're doing more than you, but they're not doing more than you. A lot of them are not lasting as long as you. Amen. They're out here unprotected, uncovered, everything. They are getting all the elements of the world. Whereas when you're in the fold, you're in the covenant with God, you have a protector, a provider, a physician. He has many names. And all you have to do is come into the fold. And you will begin to see the difference between being out in the world and then being covered in the covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he already went on the cross, not just for me, but for everyone. Everyone has the same opening, the same possibility, the same strength to come on the other side. As long as you can make it on the other side and give your life to Christ, amen, then you too can be provided for, comforted, protected. You'll have everything that you had in the other life plus more. He guarantees you. He guarantees you the kingdom of God. He guarantees you a life after this. He guarantees you a lot. What has the world offered you? When I was in the world, I didn't see anything that the world offered me. If it was out there, I didn't find it. I didn't see anything that the world offered me. I had to learn everything from my family. And when I went out there to look for a job or anything, it wasn't no guarantee about holding no job. It wasn't no guarantee if you finish college, you go get a good job. They tell you if you go to college, but ain't no guarantee. You spend all that money, you go to college, ain't no guarantee that you go get that six-figure job. They just tell you if you go to college and get that degree that you can make more money. But a lot of companies now are cutting back. They don't even want to pay people that kind of money. So it's almost a waste in a way. If you pay all that money, now you got all that debt you got to pay back because you thought you was going to get that six-figure job. Everybody that I know who went to college has not stayed in that profession that they went to school for. I'm not joking. Everybody that I know that got degrees, I got a degree in business. I got a degree in this. But what are they doing? They ain't doing what they went to school for. So that's what I'm telling you. That degree really not working. They can say this. I have a degree. They can say that. You know, that is self-achievement. That's what the Bible calls self-achievement. You know what I'm saying? So you can, you know, feel proud of yourself. This gives you something that you can say, well, I achieve this under my own strength. But God laughs at us because that means nothing to him. That means nothing. That's self-achievement. But I'm saying people in this world, the world told us that we need things like this in order to get ahead. But we see that is not true. That is a lie. Again, propaganda to make money off of the people. I know a lot of people that sent their kids to college, put their homes up, mortgaged their home so they could send them to college and everything. And those children do not have a job in what their parents sent them to school for. Parents are almost losing their homes. You know what I'm saying? Because they want to make sure their kid is educated. But I'm not saying a degree is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if that's what you want. But the thing I'm saying, there's no guarantee behind that man-made stuff in the world. There's no guarantee behind it. But if you come into the fold, if you come into the covenant with God, God's Bible has many promises. All you have to do is just line it up with his will and his way, and it will come to pass. So you will excel further than someone that has a degree as long as you stay in God's will. And you can go and give God that scripture where he will raise you up. Because his word is just that. His word cannot come back to him void. We know that. The children of God, we know this. So if you're on the fence, if you're on the fence about you still haven't decided if you want to come over on the side where the Lord is, where he went on the cross for you, this is a good time to make your mind up a decision to come on this side, and you'll see why the Lord died for you. You should know why the Lord died for you and why he came back. He came back for his people. And he came back to let us know that death didn't hold him. It won't hold you either. Because remember, we were made in his image. So his promises is his promises. And ain't none of his promises never came back void. And he tell you, test me at this and see. So, why? I mean, if you want to test him, he told you you can test him at it. But a lot of people got to know how to do it in order to test him. And that's also in the Bible. So once you come into the fold and you learn all the things you need, the beginnings of, you know, getting to know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the beginning of the Bible, reading the Bible, getting the scripture in you. Because once you start reading the Bible and getting the scripture in you, it'll start cleaning you up. It start making people feel good. It start cleaning them up. And then all of a sudden they get clean so well, you know, the word is cleaning them up so well that they want to venture out and do things immediately, right away. I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. If they're faithful in studying. That word to clean them up, because that's what the word does. It get inside you, and it start planting itself. It's a seed already in you. It just needs to be watered. And once you start learning the word of God, you are watering that seed, and then it'll start cleansing you, and then you'll want to do more things for God. You'll be more on fire for God. Everyone that comes into the fold experience that. They be on fire for the Lord and everything. That's just a process that we go through because we have to go through that because he's preparing us for the next step, which would be baptism after you join. You get baptized in his name, and then you continue to go forward in the word, and then you continue to go forward in his will and his way, and you start learning more about the kingdom and all these things. So all that comes with time and growth. But I'm just letting you know, you have someone over here that loves you and care for you, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have went on the cross for you, me, and the whole world. But he also never told you that it was going to be easy following him. It's not going to be easy, because you're going to come up against a lot that will not like you. Soon as you come on his side, you'll have enemies immediately. Girl, you in church, you'll start losing friends left and right. People won't call you. They won't have too much to say to you because now they feel you're different. You're not like them, and they know your spirit is different now. So they don't want this spirit around them because his name, the name Jesus, they don't like to hear that name Jesus because they know it means righteousness, mercy, love. They can't deal with that. You too righteous for them. You too full of love. You too this. So they don't want to have no connection with you, really. So the friends drop off. The family members kind of back up. So you'll see a difference immediately. That light, once that light starts shining, then you know you're on the right track. You know you're on the right track then because they will start dropping you. But when they start dropping you, guess what? The Lord is going to love you even more. The love of your of Heavenly Father will start growing inside of you. You'll want to know more about him. You'll be more curious. You will seek him. And the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So you'll start seeking him more. And he loves that because he knows that you want to know more about him. You want to get into his word. So he loves that. And he's going to teach you about idols. He's going to teach you about things that are not real, what the world is going to tell you. All this is included and more in the word of God. So if you're thinking about it, it's nothing really to think about, but take your time. But I'm going to tell you, time is of the essence. We don't have time on our side. See, we live in time, but our Heavenly Father, he does not live in time. So our time is very valuable, and time for us is not as long as we think. We're just a breath of air. We're a breath of air. We could be here today and gone tomorrow just that quick. So I'm just saying, if you have been in the world and the world has whipped you from left to right, turned you all the way around, you almost lost your mind, you almost lost your life, you still living out there in that world, it's time to come out of the cold and into the fold, okay, into the fold of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to come out of the cold and into the fold because you didn't live over there and you didn't achieve anything. I mean, the things that you achieved seems like now you're in your life, you're trying to figure out what are you going to do next? What's next for me? You're trying to figure out your life. But when you come into the fold, then the Holy Spirit will guide you where you need to go. You won't have to figure out your life because you'll have someone guiding you every step of the way, teaching you. Amen. That's how the Holy Spirit operates. So if there's anyone that's on the fence about coming on the Lord's side, I would tell you to make that move and come out of the cold and into the fold. Because time is of the essence. You don't want to get caught over there in the last days. Believe me, it's going to rain. And when it rains, it will pour. And they will be looking for places to run and hide. But God's children, we already know what's happening. We know what's going on because our word teaches us. We're in the word constantly. We pray together. So we're watching and praying. And we're lining ourselves up with the word of God. Whereas the world right now is chasing material things, money, people, things that don't matter, things that will not save them. That's what the world is doing right now. That's what they're about. You know, putting fear in each other, trying out new things that won't work. They think will work, but will not work in the long run. So don't ever get jealous of the people in the world. Because you got it all over them if you're in God's fold. You have it all over them. You are blessed. You are walking in blessings. You are blessings. I tell everyone on this line, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You're walking in blessings. You are blessing. You are blessing to someone. You're blessed going in. You're blessed going out. We speak nothing but life over people in the salt of the earth. Amen. Because it's a lot of death on the other side. Amen. And we're here in the life and the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you need to come out of death and come over here into the fold. Amen. So if there's no more prayer requests or prayer reports, I want to pray for the line right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for today's message. I know that message was for somebody, and that somebody could be me. It could be anyone on this line, but this message is a message of love for our brothers and sisters. It's a message to teach us about Good Friday, what Good Friday means to us. It doesn't mean an Easter egg and a bunny. Amen. We celebrate our Lord and Savior every day. Every day with us is a day of thanksgiving. We appreciate him. We are thankful. We are grateful. We are thankful for past blessings, and we are thankful and grateful for future blessings. Amen. We keep our hearts open for love because that's what we are. We are love, and we project love, and we speak life. Amen. We want to continue to do that, and we want to continue to line up with our Lord and Savior's word. Amen, because it's a blessing. You can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. We have promises, and we are holding on to our promises on a daily basis, and we are so blessed. We don't know. We are so blessed. Some of us sometimes may not feel that we are blessed, but you are blessed. You are blessed if you are in the fold. Amen, of the kingdom. If you are under the covenant of our Lord and Savior, you are blessed. And you need to look at it no other way but that you're blessed. And guess what? We're going to have up days and we're going to have down days. But that's okay. We even find joy in our down days because we can always find joy in something. But we don't have to live in anger. We don't have to live in despair. We don't have to live in want, need. We don't have to live like that. Amen. Because we have a Lord and Savior, a provider. If we don't have it, we know where we can go get it. All we have to do is go talk to our Heavenly Father, and it is not nothing that he will not look at for us or guide us or bless us with. Amen. We won't be doing without. We don't do without. A lot of us may not know how to do it properly to get what we want from our Lord and Savior because we don't know how to pray maybe right, or maybe we don't have enough strength in our prayer. Or guess what? Maybe we didn't repent or ask for forgiveness. Because before you can ask God for anything, we always have to ask for forgiveness and repent. And we have to do this on a daily basis because I know sometimes I be mad and I be saying, Lord, I am mad as hell. And I remember he said, it's okay to be mad, but just don't sin. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. I be mad, but I can deal with that. This thing always comes up when I get upset about something. It's okay to be angry, but don't sin. So that's the first thing that comes up. And I'm like, okay, that calms me all the way down to zero. All the way down to zero. So that's always in front of me. It's like it's a norm now. It just comes up if I get mad about something. It's okay to be angry, Alexandra, but no sinning. No sin, as long as you don't sin. So, amen. God is just good. He's good. I put that before me because that helps teaches me and helps train me. But I don't want you guys to ever think that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not there for you. He is there for us. Amen. And so I just want to thank you guys for coming on today. Again, this was a message for everyone, not just someone, but for everyone. We can learn from this message what Good Friday is, what it's about, and why we are thankful for Good Friday. Good Friday is a blessing for us because without him dying and resurrecting, we would not have a second chance at eternal life. We would not have a second chance at eternal life. We would not go into a permanent sleep until he come back. Amen. So that's a blessing for us, God's children. Amen. So I want to thank everyone for coming on today. I think we had a good topic today, amen, and we got to talk about what we grew up with, and I'm glad that as we grew up, we learned better, and we can teach our kids. I don't have any grandkids, but when I do have them, I'm going to teach them the right way. I'm not even going to start off with the propaganda. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to just teach them the right way from the beginning because it's no, I mean, they of course they'll enjoy like candies and outfits, but it won't be because of Easter. You know what I'm saying? That's what I grew up with. I call it the lie. I grew up with that lie about Easter. And the reason why I call it the lie because I'm saying they told me that Easter eggs and bunny went together when I was little, and it was like a kid's holiday. But now I know it's not really a kid's holiday. This is a day for our Lord and Savior. So there's no way this should be considered a kid's holiday, Easter. That's why they call it Easter, because that's for kids. But it's really Resurrection Day, the day that it should be called. Amen. So, but anyway, we know better now. When you know better, you do better. So we do better as God's children. We know. Amen. So we know what we're supposed to do. We don't let such things bother us, and we don't really get involved with it. We know it's the day that the kids have the Easter bunny and all that, you know. I'm not saying don't do it. If you want to give your kids candy and stuff like that, that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, you don't have to go with that old crazy Easter stuff. You just know that they look cute today and they got, you know, some candies today, and you let them know what the real reason is behind the story. Don't give them that story with the bunny. I would suggest that you wouldn't give them that story with the bunny and the egg. Just, you know, you can explain it to them. They're big enough now. And some people, I've heard some people say, oh, let the kids have their fun. They are going to have their fun, but why would I want to teach them the wrong way? That's the wrong way. And then, you know what I'm saying? So if you start off right, you don't have to go back and correct it. That's the reason why I say when I do have some grandkids, I'm going to start them off the right way and let them know, hey, this is the day that the world celebrates Easter, but there's no such thing as Easter. This is Resurrection Day, and the reason why it's called Resurrection Day, then I'll break it down. But this is the same day when people, like, maybe get their kids a basket or some candy, blah, 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 and then they'll say, oh, okay, so then they'll start off with it being the right way. I won't have to go back and reteach them. because I didn't get retaught. I learned on my own. By the time my mother told me what it was, I had already figured it out. That and other things like Santa Claus, all that kind of dumb stuff, I kind of figured it out, you know, because I asked for things I didn't even get. And I'm like, I thought this man was supposed to bring me something for Christmas, you know. But I'm just saying, kids, when we kids, they give us things to make us feel good. But sometimes people can call that witchcraft. They can call that other things, you know, but it's not of God. That's for sure. It's not of God. So we don't want to teach our kids the pagan way. To me, that's the pagan way. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. But other than that, you guys just remember, God loves you. And he will keep on loving you, and he won't stop loving you no matter what you do. All we have to do is just continue to stay lined up with the word, continue to say our prayers, continue to lean on him, love him, and give him back the love that he's given us. Amen. Because we are his ambassadors down here on earth. We are supposed to be the example for the world down here. And I know a lot of people say, you kidding, as bad as this world is, I ain't tripping like that. But let me tell you, no matter what, we are still the examples. We are supposed to be the examples for the world. We are his light. We say we are his children. We are his children. We are light. Do we lie? We don't lie. We walk in truth. So we are ambassadors for Christ. And what we do is spread the gospel. We spread good word. We speak life, not death. We are a blessing. We are blessed, and we walk in blessings. That's what we do. And I want to always encourage the people on the salt of the earth. I'm always telling y'all to be blessed, because I believe everything that I'm telling you. And I try to train myself and live that way too, because I always want to do good. Because what you do, what you put out there will come back to you. Whatever you put out in the universe will come back to you. If you put out good, good will come back to you. If you put out bad, bad will come back to you. And it'll come back two or three times worse. So you always want to put out good. Nobody wants to put out bad and get the repercussions of bad, because bad can get awful. It seems like when it rains, it pours. So you don't want that. You always, even the most negative, you just say, I count it as joy, or I count it as a blessing. When people hurt you, pray for them. When people talk about you, pray for them. When people do you wrong, pray for them. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Pray for them. And that's what we do. We pray for them, because they don't know what they're doing, but we're praying for them, because we know they don't know what they're doing. And the Lord will deal with them. The Lord will deal with them. Sometimes we be mad and we want to do things, but all we have to do is hold our peace and let our Heavenly Father deal with it, and he'll make it right. Whatever it is, he'll make it right. He will not let evil ride. That's for sure. That's why he's there for us. Amen. Things that are above our head, he deals with it. He deals with this government system. It's no system in the world that he don't trump. So don't think anybody out here with money, billionaire, trillionaire, gazillionaire, is higher than God. They money goes so far, and that's it. All this that's on the earth, all the diamonds, all the gems, all the gold, all the oil, everything belongs to God. They don't take it with them when they leave. They can be worth $450 billion. When they die, they go put them in that coffin, and they ain't going to put $450 billion in that coffin with them.
Amen.
When he lay down, he go lay straight like everybody else. She go lay straight like everybody else. So they get nothing but dirt thrown on that coffin. Or they go in the mausoleum, whichever way they want to go. But they ain't going to take no money with them when they go. No diamonds, no money, no nothing. They go leave naked just like they came naked. So they only using that money, whatever it is that they accumulating, and sitting up for locusts to eat or whatever, and not sharing with more sharing. They would feel more better about themselves if they shared some of that money, but they would rather have it up there so you can know they were $450 billion or $100 billion. And at the end of the day, they got to stretch out just like everybody else. But they need to just hope they get to come back. Because if they ain't got God in their life, they ain't coming back. It don't matter how many billions can't save them. They billions ain't going to heaven with them or nothing. None of that. None of that exists up there where our Heavenly Father is. None of that exists. So if they make it in, they going to be on level playing ground with everybody else unless they get an assignment to them from the higher-ups in heaven. Other than that, they going to be on the same level ground. They going to say, oh, when I was on earth, I was a billionaire, Lord. They can't talk like that up there. That won't be acceptable. That will not be accepted. So that's why a lot of them say they love their life now. They're enjoying it to the best of their ability. And that's good. So if they want to enjoy their life and not come back, they done already told you. A lot of people, I done heard them, famous people say, I love my life. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. If I come back, I want to come back like this again. But, honey, let me tell you, you ain't coming back like that no more. You won't. You won't be coming back like that no more. What promise do you have? What covenant have you made with the world where the world can guarantee you coming back? It's not none. It's not one in the world. Your covenant is only made with our Heavenly Father. That's it. That's all. Jesus says it's only one way, and that's through him. So any covenant you made with anybody else is not real. It don't exist.
Amen.
Amen. So I do not want to hold you guys any longer. I love you. And again, today is Good Friday. I want you to enjoy your weekend. Have fun with your family. And Sunday is Resurrection Day. Amen. And I am going to bless that day for what it's worth. Amen. And praise my Lord and Savior and have a good old time praising him, enjoying him and his word. Amen. Because ain't gonna nothing going to stop me from celebrating Resurrection Day. Amen. I am going to celebrate it. And in this house, we serve the Lord. Amen. In this house, we serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we always acknowledging him first. And I am thanking him for everything he went on the cross for me for. I'm not even worthy, but I'm giving it all to him on Sunday. And it don't matter about them new outfits, them Easter eggs, them bunnies, because I can care less. For those that still do that, have a good old time, but I can care less about that. But enjoy that day with your kids and family. And if you cook that ham, I know Sister Paige was talking about that ham. I don't know where that ham came from either, Sister Paige. But they love that ham on Easter with whatever they make with it, some sides or whatever. So whatever it is that you guys cook, make sure it's healthy and something good for your body, nourishment, amen, because we want to stay healthy. And the Lord told me to eat clean and lean, and I'm suggesting for you guys to have longevity and a good life, eat lean and clean as well. He had to say it for a reason, because I really don't eat a lot of sweets and stuff, but I guess he's just letting me know we already know this processed food is not good for our bodies, amen. The processed food is not good for our bodies. So we want to eat lean and clean, you know. So the red meat, if you're a red meat eater, you know, I know a lot of people have to have meat, but I mean, like chicken and fish, the white meat is better to me than the red meat. The red meat, you know, people like they steaks. I'm not going to tell you what to eat. Eat what you want to. I'm just saying what is healthy in this time and day, in this day and time. What is healthy, more healthy for you? People are getting slack on doing everything, and that's including the food. I read an article where they talking about they piecing steaks together with meat glue. I ain't never heard of nothing called no meat glue, but they got something called meat glue where they putting your steaks together now, you know. So they giving us all kind of stuff, meat glue. Mm-hmm. Putting together steaks, and then when you go out, you be going to these steak houses, Red Lobster, or wherever you want to go to, what's Applebee's, any of these Outback, you go to these places and you pick up steakhouse, Brazilian steakhouse, wherever you go, you pay all that money, you don't even know if that steak been glued together or not. They actually show it on YouTube. I'm like, wow. And you just have to look at it. They'll show you what to look for in it. But I'm saying, I didn't even know they had glue for me. This is ridiculous. You know, they giving us anything now. Anything. That's why all this stuff is coming down on us. That's why we got to be picky about what we eat. And that's why we got to always bless our food. Be picky about what we eat and bless our food. Because these people, I'm telling you, they giving us anything now. They really, really careless. Amen. So I'm just saying, we just have to pray, watch and pray, and do the best that we can. And we here for one another. That's the, you know, that's one of the best things that we can do. Watch and pray, be here for one another with the word. Amen. That'll give us longevity and everything else we need. We got to pray back up with one another. That's what we're supposed to do as sisters and brothers in Christ. You know, we ain't supposed to be asking for outrageous things. I'm just saying, like some pastors be asking for outrageous things. No, we supposed to be able to talk to our sisters and brothers, and if we ask for something, it needs to be something that they can do, not something outrageous that they can't do. Sister, I feel something coming on. God told me it's seven people in the audience, and seven people go give me $7,000, and you go be blessed, blah, blah, blah. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm just not with all that nonsense. Because God didn't tell him that. He just made that up. But a lot of people like to hear that type of stuff. You know why? Because they're lost. They don't know about the word for real. They're really lost. And so they have a lot of people like that. Amen. But I pray that the Lord will open that spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and one day they'll wake up. Amen. So I just love you guys. I can keep going on and on, but I'm not going to hold you because it's Good Friday. I want you guys to have a good weekend. I want you guys to be blessed going in, blessed coming out. I want you guys to be a blessing to someone because you are blessed. And I am speaking blessings over you because you are a child of God and you are blessed. So you are blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. Blessed going in, blessed coming out. Your family is blessed. You're blessed. All you got to do is speak blessings over them. That's all you got to do. Speak blessings. If you need some help, you right here at the side of the earth, let us know. We'll pray for you and your family. I'll personally call if you need some additional prayer, and I'll keep calling, and you'll be blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. Because we're walking in blessings. We are blessings, and we are blessed. Whether we want to believe it or not, we have to believe that in order to turn things around in our household. That's how we get that negativity out of there, because we have joy in us and we are blessed. So I'm always here to uphold you, to be your cheerleader, whatever you need. We're going to cheer all the way. Amen. We're going to cheer all the way to heaven, doing the right thing, saying the right things, living the right way. Yes, that's what we're going to do. That's what we do here at the Salt of the Earth. We uplift each other in love and harmony. Amen. So we want to thank everyone for coming today. We enjoyed your presence, and we send love and blessings with you and the love of Christ. The hedge of protection till we meet next week, same prayer line, same prayer time. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sending you guys out with blessings. Go in peace and not in pieces. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it, but just come on back and get some more loving from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and some more loving from the salt of the earth, because we love you, we love you, we love you, we here for you. And so we look for you next Friday, the same place, the same time. And I hope last Friday you guys enjoyed when I went into the mall and talked to people. That was so fun. That was so fun. We're going to do more of that this summer. Amen. And we're going to have better equipment. We're going to have much better equipment. We're going to stream it maybe. So we're going to see what happens. Amen. Because I want you guys to be able to see, no matter where you guys are, you'll be able to see us on the move. Amen. So I just wanted to say that to you guys. But be blessed. Stay blessed. Walk in blessings. And until I see you guys next week, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless each and every one on the line, each and every one's family. I ask that you bless the presenter that's online from the top of their head to the tip of their toes. I ask that you bless the body. Keep it healthy. I ask that you touch the mind and keep it powerful and strong. Bless the heart that it may be giving and protected with love. Keep the hedge of protection around the family. I ask you to bless the immediate family, the grandkids. And I ask that you reach out to other family members, the extended family. Bless them. I ask that you bless cousins, nieces, nephews. I ask that you bless the sick in their family. Whatever they're sick on or sick of or whatever they're going through, Father, I ask that you go in there and bless them and let them feel your presence. I ask that you open spiritual eyes and ears so that they will be able to discern good from bad. I ask, Father, that you be with them until we meet again. Bless their finances, Lord, that they're bills will be paid. Bless their finances so they'll have money on the way. Bless their finances so they won't have to beg for food. Bless their finances so they can make it from month to month with your help. You are the provider. Amen. And you provide for them. So I am reminding you of your word for the people on the salt of the earth, Father, that you keep your word, and it will not come back void. Everyone on this line within the sound of my voice is blessed because of you. Amen. So I want to thank everyone for coming, and I love you guys, and you guys have a great weekend till I see you guys on Friday. Love you, love you, love you. Can't wait to get connect back with you on Friday again. We have Elder Prevost, I do believe, Sunday evening. What time, Prevost? About 5. I do believe you said it's around 5. Around 5 on Sunday?
Yes, around 5 your time. 7 o'clock my time.
Okay, so it's 7 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Central.
No, 7 o'clock.
Amen.
7 o'clock. No, it's 7 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Pacific.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we ask that you guys tune in because Elder Prevost always got a good word. Amen. You need to come on his platform and listen to him. He always has something good to say. Amen. And then we got Pastor Page on Wednesday night, Bible study night, and we have him also on Sunday. Amen. So this Sunday he's going to have a word for you. And we need to be there to hear his word. I know he got something good to say about Resurrection Day. And I promise you it won't be about bunny rabbits and eggs.
and Sunday is his birthday, too.
Oh, it's his birthday?
Mm-hmm.
So his birthday is on Resurrection Day?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, you tell Pastor Page, I say happy, happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, and many more. Amen.
You'll lie on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'll be on there, and I will come on there, and I will wish him a happy birthday right there on his platform. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's great. Look at God. Blessing and we still here. We still here because we ain't going on. God, you know we ain't going nowhere. We hanging on. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We hanging. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. We got a reason to hang on. So I want to thank everyone for coming. You guys have a blessed weekend, and I'll see you guys next Friday. Have a blessed weekend. Bye.
Say bless, yeah. Bless.